Well, I'm going to be married to Andrea for 25 years this year, and it's a great privilege having my wife share in ministry with me. And our guest speaker this morning is actually going to be Andrea, and that's kind of cool, isn't it? You know, Andrea's brought up two incredible children. And I am just so blessed having a lovely wife that's stuck by me all these years, through thick and thin. And who knows that marriage, you've got to work at it. Yeah. But the hard work pays off, yeah? So come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's welcome Pastor Andrea Sermon this morning.
Thank you. You're too generous. You may be seated. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone, all our beautiful women. I want to say we want to celebrate women today, whether you're a mother or a sister or an auntie, grandma. It's just so great to have you in our church today and celebrating it with us. Now, after our service, we're going to also eat. Girls, there's some reserved tables for you. So we've actually reserved some tables for you. And we just wanted to do that to make you feel special. So you're just going to have to let your kids go feral. Now, the older children in our kids' zone are going to be serving you. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. But anyway, we'll give it a go. So fantastic. But you know, a few weeks ago in the office over lunch, we get together on a Tuesday as a group of staff and volunteers. And one of the things that we do is, you know, we have lunch and we talk about our week together. And our beautiful Sarah was making us some coffee, and she was bringing up the coffee up into the office for us to have at lunchtime. And I remember Pastor Helen saying, "Oh, I just love the smell of coffee." Now, that's an unusual thing for Helen to say, because Helen doesn't actually like coffee, but she loves the smell of it. Does anyone else like the smell of coffee? Anyone, that's why you're living in Fremantle, isn't it? Because you love the smell of coffee. But you know, we started then just having some fun with this idea of smells. And what we were talking about is we started to talk about the smells of Fremantle. And you know, Fremantle has got some awesome smells, hasn't it? We started to think about, you know, that salt air on a summer's day that just sort of blows over Fremantle. You've got that beautiful southwesterly, and you smell the salt in the air. And we started thinking about, you know, Cicerello's and the fish and chips as you go down on a Saturday afternoon, and you smell the fish and chips. And, you know, we decided that we were going to write a book based on the smells of Fremantle. We thought about the coffee that just wafts down the cappuccino strip as you go for a walk one day. And the guys said, you know, what about the smell of beer from Little Creatures? But we went, no. But what about pizza? As you walk past Pizza Bellaroma, you smell it. You feel like you're in Italy, don't you, Charlie? Just that smell. And or if you're further down here in South Fremantle, we love the smell of Abby's bread as they're baking that beautiful organic bread. And it's just like, oh, I love the smell. But, you know, some of us joked that in this best-selling book of ours about Fremantle, we could also include other smells like the smell of vomit from the nightclub on a Saturday night. Sort of go past and we thought, oh, I'm not so sure about that one. Or what about the sheep trucks as they hurl down Leech Highway and you get that lovely breeze blows it back on you? And we thought, well, I don't know if this book's going to be a bestseller. But, you know, it got me thinking about smells and their association. And, you know, we associate certain smells with people, don't we? I still remember the smell of my father's aftershave. Old Spice. Can you still buy it? Yeah. Okay, I know it's Mother's Day, but who's got Old Spice? Come on, dads. Anyone got Old Spice that they had to? Oh, Dylan's got Old Spice, you young fella. The smell of Old Spice. Or what about the smell of a newborn baby like Phoebe? Doesn't a baby have like a new smell? Or what about the smell of home? Doesn't home have a nice smell? You've got any boys? Well, there we go. What about a particular perfume? It reminds you, doesn't it, of a certain person. As you smell that perfume, you think that person's just walked through the room. Did any mums get any perfume for Mother's Day, anyone? No, no perfume. Well, cheap, aren't they, around here? But, you know, just as smells remind us of people, so do words. I began to think about that association with people and words. And often when we think of a person, just like a smell, we're left with the impression or a word, aren't we? We can often think, oh, they're such a nice person. Or we can go, oh, maybe that person's, you know, just a bit draining. Or maybe miserable. Or I love to be around that person. They're like fresh air. You know, then it started me thinking about people in our church and certain words that I associate with certain people. I was thinking of Erica Van Cash. Come on, help me. Van Kashki. And you know, the word I think of with Erica is brave. Brave to be facing life-threatening situations head on and still trusting God. Started to think of words for Jane Newland. Jane, I think of the word whenever I think of Jane is capacity. Jane can handle a complexity of issues and never seems ruffled. When I think of Yana Bloys, I think of the word sunshine. In 12 months, I have never seen her miserable. Would that be right, music team? I won't ask Ian. You know, the word I think of with Eunice Meader is I think of fun. She is the fun thermometer in our youth group. She's always laughing, always enjoying life, always involved in everyone's life, always in detention at school because she's talking too much. You know, when I think of my sister, Lisa, I think of courageous, getting up every day with an incurable illness and yet committed to getting the best out of her life. When I think of Susan Pitar, I think of matriarch. Where is she? That woman, she gathers her family and community members together and she teaches them the way of God. Ever visit Susan, there's always a Bible on her dining table. When I think of Sarah Jennings, I think of servanthood. A young woman who is so willing to serve others. I have never heard her say no when you ask her to do something, which is usually about 65 coffees on a Tuesday for all the staff. We have a very long day on a Tuesday. And you know, she does it with such a great attitude. When I think of Penny Ladigan, I think of perseverance. Trying her very best to assimilate into a new culture and get over homesickness. Is it mum-in-law here? Mum, welcome today. You know, when I think of Emma Wilkinson, the word I always use for Emma is gold. A quiet achiever who she runs our kids' ministry. She just doesn't know it. And she just does it with such a gentle, sweet spirit. And when I think, finally, of one other lady, Helen Ricardo, I think of Proverbs 31. She typifies the woman in Proverbs 31 who works, manages a household and juggles a million different plates and does them all well. Not fair. And you know, I could go on and on about every single woman in this room. You know, our words speak so much. You know, I was listening to a CD recently and the speaker asked a really interesting question. He said, do you like who you're becoming? Do you like who you are becoming? I'm going to take that question further. Do others like who you are becoming? What word would other people use to describe you? Would they use words like friendly or loyal or loving or kind? Just great fun, like Eunice. Or would they use words to describe you like draining, bitter, angry, unforgiving, miserable? So I'm going to leave you with two questions today I'd like you to ask yourself. Firstly, what is the scent that you're giving off? And secondly, do you need to take a shower? The singer Anna DeFranco, she said, I'm queen of my own compost heap and I'm getting used to the smell. You know, many times we don't realize that we're giving off a scent that isn't quite so pleasant. You know, my children, when I pick them up from school, after school, they'll jump into the car and I'll smell an aroma. And I'll go, oh, whew, you've done sport, I can tell. You need to take a shower. You know what my kids will often say back? What? What? What's wrong? How interesting is it that we don't know the scent that we're giving off? We can't smell ourselves, and often we can't smell it when we need to take a shower. Well, today I'd like to say, let's get off the compost heap and let's take a wash. Benjamin Franklin said that fish and visitors all smell in 3 days. Oh, sorry, mum-in-law, she's come to visit. But you know, the words that I use to describe a lot of you here today define who you are and the attitudes that you've chosen to adopt in life despite your circumstances. And often we'll say they've got a bad attitude about a situation or they've got a great attitude. But what does attitude actually mean? The dictionary says that it means it's a manner, it's a disposition, it's a feeling or a position with regards to a person or a thing. You know, the scent that we give off, whether pleasant or unpleasant, will be the result of our attitude to life. And attitudes that will infect your spirit are being critical, always seeing the fault in things. Girls, we're not good at this with our husbands. Being angry and being unforgiving. So how do we create healthy attitudes in our life? I want to give you a few points before we finish up this morning and go out to morning tea. Well, firstly, we need to be a worshipper. Psalm 16:11 says, "You fill me with joy in your presence." You know, when you spend time with God, joy will just flow out of you. It can't but do anything else. Psalm 4:7 says, "You give me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and wine." You know, when I wrote that psalm into my journal, I thought, how interesting, a little psalm that's snuck in there. The psalmist was saying that God gives us greater joy than more than what we have. Hang on a minute. Hang on. So that means, God, I can be joyful even when I don't have as much as maybe others. God, what a great scripture for this culture. So be a worshipper. Love the house of God. Come into the house of God with a heart that's expectant. Secondly, how do we create a great attitude? It's to be thankful. I love 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and 17. And why I love it so much was this church was under severe persecution. These were the poorest of Christians. And the writer says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, I love that. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, always be thankful. But this is God's will for you. What's God's will? You'll be thankful. Oh my goodness. No matter what happens, well, that tells me. Go down to the next verse, guys. That tells me then that stuff's going to happen. No matter what happens, it's going to happen. But what does God say? He says, be joyful. Come to me and pray. Come to me with a heart of thankfulness. And you know what that'll create? That'll create a great attitude in you. You're putting a stake in the ground, and what you're saying is, you know what? Whatever happens, I'm going to have joy in my life. No matter what happens, I'm going to thank God. Here's another one. How do we create a healthy attitude? Is be generous. Be generous. Do you know, I believe that generosity is the antidote to criticism. It breaks a critical attitude. You know, the billionaire Paul Getty said that money is like manure. It needs to be spread around. Philippians 4:18, Paul said, at the moment I have all I need, more than I need. I'm generously supplied with the gifts that you've sent me through Epaphroditus. This is so interesting. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases him. Do you know that we give off a scent to God? Do you know sometimes the scent that we give off to God isn't always so pleasing? We haven't got time this morning, but we could just jump back into the Old Testament. But you know, we can give off a scent to God. And what is it created through? Generosity. It's created through thankfulness. It's created through being a worshiper. And so here God says, you know, when you're blessing other people, it actually comes up to me, a scent comes up to me. And you know what? It pleases me. You please me when you're generous to others. You know, it's not just financial, it's our time. Be generous with your time. Twi and I are at university together. You know, we're doing child psychology at the moment. You know, it clearly says that it's not about quality we give our children, it's about quantity. Be generous with your time, with your children. Be generous with your words. Proverbs 12:18 says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Here's another great attitude to have. Be a forgiver. Keep short accounts with God and with others. Forgive on a daily basis. You know, every day I say the Lord's Prayer. I heard a great quote, don't look for imperfections in God. Look for God in the imperfections. How many times do we want to tell God what's wrong with him and what he's doing? But you know, in those situations, we can say, God, I'm going to find you in this situation. Forgive. You know, sometimes we've got to forgive God because we feel like he's let us down. And we need to forgive others. Psalm 86 verse 5 says, O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask your aid. And lastly, this is not an exhaustive list, but lastly, creating healthy attitudes is to be a person of integrity. You know, at uni this week, Twi and I were doing a presentation on social media and adolescence. And one of the questions that I asked the group was, how many have been dumped via text message? It's an interesting question, isn't it? A lot of us don't know because we're not there. So I wanted to know. Well, actually, a few people put up their hands. So I said, how did you feel being dumped via text message? Well, I didn't find anyone that found it a pleasant experience. You know, I believe that a person of integrity is a person that will have conversations that are difficult face to face. They don't leave it on Facebook. They don't send an email. They don't text message, I'm dumping you. So, young people, don't even think about dumping someone via text message. You know, I believe a person of integrity is someone who leaves situations well. We don't ever talk about that. You know, whether it's a relationship, a job, church, aim to do it well. I remember saying to someone who left our church, I said, you can either do the process of leaving well or you can do it really badly. It's the same with your job. It's the same with a relationship. You know, things may come to an end. Things do have a season. But you know what my observation is people only remember the last part. They don't remember the previous 15 years or 20 years of hard service you gave to your employer. They actually only remember how you left. If you are terrible, if you're taking sickies because you've got another job lined up, or you start bad-mouthing the boss, or you start gossiping in church about what you don't like, or maybe it's about this person that you just can't stand anymore and you want to get out of a relationship. Do you know what I've found? I found how you leave will impact how you join something. What you sow is what you reap. And so I want to say today, do people, be people of integrity. Treat people with the same measure you want used off on you. Break off relationships respectfully. End employment honorably. Leave a church well. Show honor. Honor your boss. Thank him for the opportunity and the investment over the time that you've been there. They may be annoyed at you for leaving, but you can still do it well. That doesn't mean you have to be a doormat. I know there are people of, many of our people here are in business, and some of the deals that you are closing, you need to have your wits about you. But you can still drive a hard bargain and be seen as a person of integrity. Greg Moore and I were chatting about a politician that's recently retiring, and Greg and I share the same views about this politician. Don't actually think much of this person. But, you know, Greg and I both came to the conclusion that even though we didn't agree with a lot of things, we still had a measure of respect because they were very clear about what they believed in. And you know what? That's what we need to be. Healthy attitudes is that we are people of integrity. That even though we may have to leave situations at different times, no matter we may have to drive hard bargains, no matter if we're an employer and we have to show tough love to our employees, you can still be known to be a person of integrity. You know, in conclusion this morning, when the church was quite young, I used to conduct funerals to bring in extra income. Nigel and I were very poor. We were very poor. And I used to do these funerals for a company in Fremantle as a way of earning extra income. And this one day, I had to go and visit a family of a lady who'd been married to a man for over 50 years. So as you can imagine, I was expecting just this absolute trauma at having lost her husband. You know, just this lady being completely bereft of losing her life partner. So one of the questions that I always do is I will always go and ask, you know, the family to tell me about dad or tell me about your husband, tell me about their life. Well, it didn't start off very well because mum didn't say anything. She says, I don't really have anything to say. She had an older daughter there, the eldest daughter, one of four girls. And I said to the daughter, I said, can you tell me? Tell me about life with dad. She said, well, I don't really have anything to say either. And I thought, this is really hard. So I can't actually use the language here from the pulpit that they use to describe their father. But put it this way. We came to the agreement that I would say that he provided for her and the children. And we had lots of scriptures in that funeral. 50 years, and the scent that he left behind was one of pain. What a tragedy. You know, maybe we'll get that. That's all right. I understand. You know, it's Mother's Day today, and some of you, just like that older lady, don't have a lot of nice things to say about Mum. Ouch. It's all right, Mum. I believe we can start the healing process today. You know, we talked about having five great attitudes. You know, part of that is finding something that we can celebrate about our families. You know, you may be a victim of abuse today. You may have had a terrible family upbringing. But I believe if we can just find one simple thing, just like that lady that I did that funeral for, she said, well, he did provide for me. That can start the healing process. And those things can help start changing our attitude. That can help us keep our attitude sweet. Maybe it's unforgiveness today. There are women here, and guys, I'm not beating up on you. But there are women here today that have been hurt by men. You've had your heart broken, maybe by a father or a husband or boyfriend or brother. Right here, right now, why don't you say quietly to yourself, you know what, I'm going to forgive today. I'm going to start creating great, healthy attitudes that give off a scent. That when I walk into a room, people sense the presence of God on me. They sense the joy of God. They sense that I'm a person that, you know, can forgive. They can sense that I'm a person that has got a thankful heart. They can sense that I'm a person of integrity. Why don't we choose today to let the past go? Jana, could you come back, please? I want to celebrate women today. I want to say that all the women in this church and our guests today, you are so beautiful. And the scent that you give off is so beautiful. But you know what I reckon? I reckon that I started with two questions. And I want to ask you, would you mind at some point in time just going away and thinking about it, saying, what is the scent that I'm giving off? And do I need the love of God to wash me in certain areas where I have a bad attitude? You know, my husband and my children are really good at telling me how bad my attitude is. They keep me humble. Why don't we just spend a moment right now in prayer? Maybe you're not used to this. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Why don't we just reflect on God and His goodness? Why don't we just say to God, God, Father, I want to be a worshiper. I want to find the joy in situations in life. God, I want to have a heart that is thankful. God, I'm so grateful for what you've done in my life. I'm so grateful for my family. I'm so grateful for my church family. I'm so grateful for great friends that are around me. Why don't you say to God this morning, Father, help me to be a person of generosity. Why don't you say to God, God, I just want to be a person of integrity. Father, show me the attitudes that I need to work on. My God, my God. You know, one of the things we love to do as a church is we love to introduce people to God. We just love to help you on your journey, bring you closer to God today. One of the ways that we do that is through praying a prayer. You know, it's just a simple prayer. It's the start of the process. And we ask God if He'll come into our world. We'll say, God, you know, life is not the way I thought it would be. God, I ask you to take leadership and direction in my life. We say to God, God, I'm sorry for things that I've done wrong. You say, God, come into my life. You know, you may have been going to church for a long time and you've believed in God and you've even sensed God at certain times, but you just don't know that He's there. You don't know that He's there. You don't know His unfailing love. You don't know that He would do anything for you. This morning, I want to help you connect with God. So I would ask, if you would mind, just all of us, men, women, young people in our service today, would you just repeat a prayer? And then after that prayer, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. If you really meant it, if you really meant that you wanted to connect with God today, you wanted to come closer to God, I'm going to ask you to do something. I just want you to give me a wave. Everyone's going to keep their eyes closed, heads bowed, and you're just going to give me a wave. And you and I are going to see that. And I'm going to go, yes, God. Oh, God. This person wants to connect with you. This person wants to know you in a deeper way. Can we do that together? Would you mind? Let's all pray together. I'll say it and you say it after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask today that I will know you in a real way. I want you to be Lord of my life. I invite you today to come into my life. God, I'm sorry that I've not included you before. But today I make a decision that I'm going to follow you. That God, I'm going to allow you in my life. I'm going to allow you to take leadership in my life. Forgive me, God, for I've done things that are wrong, but I let them go today. And I receive you and everything you have for me. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.